Hello, I'm Steve Lascazo, and this is The Way. The Forge Awakens? For Mandalore? Actually, I was pretty close with that one. Mandalore Regained? The Mandalore retires, but not really? I mean, I went to bed, woke to my alarm around 2:45, turned on the TV, had Disney Plus already loaded on the Apple TV, and lo and behold, Season 3 showed 8 episodes. It was already up. I thought I'd have time to get some snacks, stretch a little bit, get comfortable, but it was ready. I don't think I was. And then the episode went by really fast. I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed that there weren't more answers. I think a lot of people will think it's just fine, because it ends mostly upbeat. When people talk about wanting to binge watch, I think the past 2 weeks are why weekly releases are better for shows. You can still binge watch after they all air. But I very much enjoyed the discourse over the title of Episode 7. The spies sent people on a treasure hunt of sorts, looking through 23 episodes of television for tittles that made their theories tick. I felt very strongly the armor was not going to be revealed as a traitor. My defense started out as a feeling, then ventured into theory, response, and reply, and finally, I made a case that others were more strongly suited to that description. Well, there was only one person I was sure was considered a spy, and that's because Elia Kane fit not just the description, but she also did the actions. But Moff Gideon, the Shadow Council, even R5-D4 and Din and Bo-Katan, all of them were stronger candidates than the armor for a spy, and I mentioned that Axe Wolves and the Survivors might have been the best position for the role of traitor. The day before the Season 3 finale aired, I realized I was more excited to see confirmation of my theories than how the actual story would be resolved. The result? Well, every time a character appeared on screen in The Return, I felt the tension of, are they going to be revealed as evil? So I do think that affected me and kept me from just purely enjoying the episode. There are some issues, but they're not major ones. They're just kind of like, well, why'd you do that? Like, I don't understand the armorer calling Grogu Din Grogu. Paz Vizsla, the clan name, comes last, just like Pre Vizsla or Tar Vizsla. Satine or Bo-Katan Kryze. Ursa and Sabine Wren. Tiber and Gar Saxon. So why Din Grogu? I mean, I'm sure there's an explanation, but I just don't understand that. It doesn't fit normally, so you're going to have to explain to me why that's the way it should be. The action was okay. It was on a giant space battle. I mean, there were ships firing on an almost helpless flagship that was, in a way, returned to owner, if you think about it. The fight scenes were good. I mean, you know, it's blasters going up against Beskar. Just an episode ago, we saw them having moderate success firing against the commando or Beskar troopers, but it seemed like they did much better this time. The clones and the tanks that Moff Gideon walked past, those ended up being just an afterthought. Grogu lasting as long as he did against the Praetorian Guard, that was one of the weaker parts of the episode for me. I mean, I don't want him to get hurt, but I just felt like, why are you locking him in there with them? I liked the revisit of Carson Teva, but how does the N1 get that close to a New Republic outpost without some kind of warning or an alert? It just didn't make sense. Maybe they got one, and we didn't need to see them radioing in that they're here to see Carson Teva. It just didn't make much sense to me. Also, we check in with Teva, but not with Pershing or Kane. What's going on with them? Not even a little blurb like, oh, we'll have to start again somewhere. I don't know. Then Din Djarin gets awarded that cabin outside of town in Navarro. But don't the Mandalorians still have all that lava flatland up to Bullet Canyon? Don't they? Did Grogu import the frog? Wasn't that one of the frogs from him training with Luke? Maybe they're ubiquitous to the galaxy. I don't know. And I am shocked that the Darksaber is just gone. I mean, there's so much buildup. There's so much history. I think this was almost more a message to the fans than actually an important plot point to the story. Or at least the story moving forward, because there will be a season 4. I'm okay with it. It just felt unnecessary. And how does it get crushed, but Bo-Katan's hand is not hurt in any way? How do you do that? Why would Gideon destroy it in this moment? I mean, was he just resigned to giving up? And then, you know, maybe last but not least, the there's no body, so there's no death. I mean, I know it would be a stretch to bring him back, but... And to be fair, they could have cut him in half, and there would still be a chance he survives, but... Hey, this is Star Wars.
You are now Din Grogu, Mandalorian apprentice.
This is the way.
That's all I'm going to say about the episode. I mean, honestly, there's not much more to say. Favreau says the season 4 is already written. I assume it's going to start shooting later this year, be ready in early 2025, but what do I know? It was underwhelming as an episode, but not completely unsatisfying. And there was no end or mid-credit scene. That was surprising as well. Those are my initial thoughts on Season 3, Episode 8 of The Mandalorian.
What do you think?
This is the Way podcast has a discussion podcast set up where we will dive deep and put a wrap on the third season, but there's going to be plenty of Star Wars between now and Season 4 of The Mandalorian. Just this August, we get Ahsoka, Skeleton Crew comes later, Acolyte comes later, and those are all live action entries. And on the animated side, May the 4th is when we'll get a second season of Star Wars Visions. And before I look forward to a Season 3 of The Bad Batch, I still have to put together my Season 2 second half recap podcast. There's going to be monthly news updates as well. April, May, June. I still hope someone's going to join me on this podcast adventure, but maybe for the smaller podcasts and the news updates and stuff, I can still do that myself, but I think it's much more entertaining when there's more than one voice. And if you have thoughts on this episode, send them in. I may include them in our upcoming discussion podcast. Email is still thisisthewaypodcast@gmail.com. If you want to find out our social media links, check on the list at Linktree. That's linktr.ee/thisisthewaypod. Thanks for listening to This Is The Way Podcast's first impressions of Season 3, Episode 8 of The Mandalorian, The Return. I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo. May the Force be with you, always.